Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, it is an honor to be able to get to do what I love to do and preach and it's just an honor to be here, be a part of this house as well. Pastor Spencer, thank you again for the opportunity and the chance to speak. I know this is a growing opportunity for me, and my face will probably be red the whole time. So I've never preached with a mic either, so this is weird for me. I'm like, I don't know what to do with my other hand, and when I have to flip in my Bible, I'll be like, we'll get there though. But we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight. We're going to read verses 19 through 23 to start. And if you are taking notes, the title will be "Serving, Being a Servant of All." There it is. When you get there, say you're there.
I'm there.
Man, y'all are quick. All right, verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I become as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means have save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Let's pray. Well, Lord, we just honor you tonight, and we thank you so much for this chance to come together and just honor you. And I pray that tonight we would all grow in your spirit, God, and grow in your word, and that we would all just be better servants of you going forth. So we thank you and we love you. In your name we pray right now. So over the last few years, my motto, kind of what God's been pouring into me, is it's not about you. And growing up, I was a pretty selfish person a lot of the time. I wanted to be about Tanner. Like, I wanted to go home and play video games and not worry about the real world a lot of the times. I would barely go to Fort Payne or anywhere with my parents unless they said, we'll go to Dairy Queen and get you a Blizzard. And I knew how to leverage some ice cream, y'all. That was my life, and that's probably why I was so chunky. Video games and ice cream, it's a dangerous combination. I wouldn't recommend it. But even in growing up, I was always one who, to the outward appearance, I was this golden child. I was the one who they would say, he's just such a good young man, he's the guy. But in private, I would be a totally different person, cussing over video games and addicted to pornography and just bound in anxiety and everything else. And it's like, there's stuff you don't want to tell everybody, but I don't think anybody wants anyone to know their dark stuff, but I think back then, man, it was tough. I didn't really care about the needs or wants of others. It's like, it's what Tanner wanted and what Tanner wanted now. And Mom tried her best with me. She did. She whooped me a few times. I needed it. But when I was asked to preach about what has been on my heart, it's really just being a servant of all. And going through J38, that's what you learned. We learned how to serve. We learned how to be someone who would lay down everything just to see God be magnified in someone else's life or see a church grow to advance the gospel more. And it's such an honor to do it. Like, whenever you get to be a key asset in a house, whenever you get to be any kind of piece in the body, it's your piece. It's an honor to do it. You have something that nobody else has. But I'm getting ahead of myself already. We're going to start with verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. So that phrase, made myself a servant, that means, it translates to make a slave of, reduced to bondage. And when I looked for the meaning of slave, I was like, when I looked for a good definition, I'm like, none of this is really just popping out to me. I'm like, I don't know. How does this tie in? And then I looked at the synonyms, and one of them was yoke. Y-O-K-E, not egg yolk, but yoke. Yeah. Y'all got me. But it's what a yoke is they say like a yoke for two oxen when they're together. They're both pulling the load together. Or there's even a single frame for a man where you have the plank on you. You have even distribution. You're carrying it. But when you are becoming a servant to someone, you're literally sharing that load that they have carrying on their shoulders. Like, a lot of people are bound with anxiety. They're under severe debt. They have different things in their life, depression, whatever it may be. We all have something in our life that's hindering us or that's holding us back or weighing us down. And what happens when you get weighed down for so long? You're eventually just going to want to quit. And when you want to quit, usually you get stuck. Once you don't want to do anything else, you just stay still. And when you stay still, you start backsliding. You start going the other way, and you get worse. So I want to talk about the importance of being there for your brother, your sister, your mother, your grandparents, your cat, anything you have. Sorry, I have cat brain right now because of our cat. I am a cat dad. It's rough. I never thought I'd become a cat dad. But Jody's like, yeah, you are. I'm a changed man. This little kitten is preparing me to be a father, I'm telling you. This guy, he wakes us up at 4 a.m. and I'm like, no. But okay, where am I at? Cat man, oh no. Sharing the load. So we all need good friends. I've learned really quickly that in marriage even, Jody and I have to help each other out a whole bunch. We have to serve each other. Because if we don't, we're just going to grow, we're going to be butting heads and like, that's your job. Don't look at me, that's your job. But, I mean, we haven't even come to that point at all, really. But it's just, I know that if I don't help her, she's going to get so bogged down and tired. And if she doesn't help me, I'm going to become overwhelmed and I'm going to be a grumpy guts. I'm going to be Tanner grumpy guts and it just won't be a good time. So, I just know I got to help her. And it made me think, when we get a lot on our plate, we usually pick and choose what we want to do, and then we just leave the rest for later. I got to thinking this past Thanksgiving, Nana got bigger plates for our Thanksgiving dinner. So I was like, man, I only have to go up there twice now. I don't have to go for thirds or fourths. And thankfully, Jody didn't finish all of her food, so I got to eat the rest of hers too. So that's what I call helping. That's what I call serving Jody right there, finishing her food. That's probably not the best example, but it's there. That one's for the men. We got to finish the food. But the other definition is the frame that is fitted for a person's shoulders to carry a load in two equal portions. So it's just so important that we get to be the ones to step in and pick up that load. If you divide 100 into 2, it's 50. So then you're both carrying 50 pounds. That's already half the weight off your shoulders. Yeah. And 100 pounds or 50 pounds is a huge difference. I remember trying to squat 300 one time, and I thought I was going to die. But one thing we can do, it doesn't require any money, doesn't require anything really, that you can do for your friends right off the bat that I thought of was, or that God told me, was intercession. When you're interceding for someone, you're literally standing in the gap for them. You're taking that weight. You're the one standing in their little frame to try to hold that up for them. And it's something you can do where you are right now. It's something that you can do, I mean, whenever. He says to pray continually. You should always be praying. Always have the Lord on your mind. Always be thinking about him and about others and how you can help others and what you can do for them. And I realized in J-8, I was really pushing all the other ones in the school with me. I was pushing them away because I was trying to think, I know what's best. I'm doing the right thing. Y'all need to pick up your slack and come on. Y'all need to start working harder. But in reality, I was so selfish that nobody really wanted to be around me. I was so immature. I'm still a little immature. I'm getting there. If I can be honest, we're all trying to mature here. Come on. Especially me. But once I realized in my second year when I became more of an example, I was like, I can't be immature in this. I can't just whip everybody and say, come on, I got to lead by example. If I'm not going to lead with grace, if I'm not going to be a graceful person, none of them will be either. And even Pastor Spencer, before I started leading youth, he said, well, whatever you do, your mood, how you treat them, they're going to see that. They're going to take everything. And I don't know what it's like to be a dad yet, but I can only imagine that whatever I do, they're going to want to do it too. So I see Bethel and Judah and Bo and even Zoe all swinging their little imaginary golf clubs every day. Zoe's like, I'm going to swing the ball, like the club, like daddy. And she threw her ball just before service. But, yeah, where's that? I get sidetracked easy. Okay, we're all made for one another. I needed to grow up in my second year of J-8, or I would have failed tremendously. Not just myself, but I would have failed each person that was in the school with me and each person in my future, because I didn't get what I needed to get when I needed to get it. So Proverbs 3:27, it tells us, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in the power of your hand to do so. So I'm going to ask y'all three questions. Number one, do you have breath in your lungs right now? Okay. Number two, do you have a voice? And number three, do you have the power of life and death in your tongue? So one big way you can serve literally anybody, like somebody you don't know, you can encourage them. You can speak life into them. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I went to church or just anywhere, like feeling all down one day, like, oh, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe this is going this way. I can't believe it's not going the way I want it to. And then someone's like, hey, I like your shirt. I'm like, oh, thank you. My day's better. I mean, it's just something so simple, but it's something so little that can be done to anybody and can make their whole day better. And one thing that God really just downloaded to me during the fast was that verse, like, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due. And we all need good in our life. If you don't have any good, it's just bad the whole time. That's pretty simple, but when you think about it, do you want bad in your life all the time? Then you can be the one to be the good for somebody else. If you're walking in the Spirit, man, you have all the fruit right there. Just give it to them. Give them a bite. Give them a taste of those strawberries. Where was I at again? Okay. It really irked me with myself was whenever I saw something I liked on somebody, like, I like your shirt, I like your shoes, I didn't tell them. I was like, it's something so simple. And it's like, oh, somebody's told them that already tonight. They don't want to hear it again. But in reality, I think in those times, if I'm vulnerable, I realized that I was really insecure. It's because I didn't really think people valued what I had to say. So, and I think in the church, it's so easy to be that person. You can, when it's your time to shine, you can get up there and give a whole sermon, but you can't compliment somebody in there, just in the congregation. It's so easy to want to be the big like head of household, the one you want to, the big guy, the big wig, I say sometimes at work. It's probably not a good term, but we all want to be the leader. We all want to be the big person, but the only way you can get there is by serving others. You get promoted because you're better at serving than the other people. So what can we do more in our daily life? Like, if you work a job, what can you do more to become better in your position? If you're the owner of your business, well, you did it. You made it. But to everyone else who doesn't own their business, what can you do? But I don't think I would be where I am and even my job if I didn't know how to serve somebody properly, because there are people relying on me to do my job at work. If I don't do my part, somebody else's project won't get done. If I don't do what I'm supposed to do, the company loses money. So what I do, how I serve them is crucial. And no, it's not about money. It's not about doing a project at work. It's about the heart. It's about how you serve somebody. But you're carrying that load there for someone else. Encouragement is also free, just a FYI. Some of it may take sacrifice, though. Sometimes you have to go out of your way to encourage somebody, too. Would you be willing to drive an extra 10 minutes just to tell somebody something or give them something that you forgot to give them earlier? I'm sure there was a time, I can't think of it right off the top of my head. I forgot to give someone something they really needed. So I had to go all the way back, get it from the house, go all the way back to them, It's about a 20-minute round trip. I was like, man, but it's something they needed. So what can you do to get your friends out of the rut? How far are you willing to go, and how much will you sacrifice to get it to them? And also, you can give more than just encouragement too. If you have what they need, give it to them. But the main point here was just encouragement. I think our words, our voices are more important than any, or what we have in us is more important than any earthly good. It's more important than any money that we could ever attain. It's more important than any gift we could ever get. And in Psalm 40, we're going off road here. In verses 16 and 17, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. I read that, I think it was the Friday night of the fast, and I was like, wow. Though I am poor and needy, God still cares about me. He still thinks about me. So what more, when you're in your lowly state, God is thinking about you too. And he may think about you enough. He thinks about you more than you know already. But he will send that person to you that you need to hear. And whenever, I think too, we sometimes reject compliments. We reject the good thing that's coming to us because we're like, I don't deserve this. I mean, really, we don't deserve anything that we get that's good. But we have to receive it because I don't want to be the person to turn down a blessing. Right. We named our cat Blessing. So whenever he's doing something wrong, we're like, no, Blessing, no. And it's like, we're saying no to a blessing. Oh, no. How do you train this cat? No, cat, no. But we cannot deny the blessings that come to us, especially if it's a life vest, a life jacket that's coming to you. We can't have enough pride when you're drowning, when someone throws you a life jacket or a tube. You're not going to say, I got it, I'm swimming, but you're just, sorry, bad impression, but you're getting all the good stuff from me tonight, I promise. No. Oh, even when he said he's like a stallion ready, I was like, wait, why did I just do that? All right, let's just go to Matthew 5. We're going to be verses 43 through 48. It says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. When I was thinking about this, I was like, I don't want to be a tax collector. I don't want to be like that. Nobody likes the IRS. Nobody. Sorry. I got an amen out of that. Thanks, Shelley. But if we're just serving those we're close to, we're not really advancing anything. Yeah. We're just kind of stalling. We're standing still. There's so many people I work with that it's hard to love. But I know if I don't love them, they're not going to get that love they need. Right. And, of course, I'm not the only Christian at work either. We're in the Bible Belt. There's going to be a lot of everything. We have a lot of mixture there. It's a big old weird smoothie. A bunch of different fruit in there. I don't know what's all coming in this smoothie, but I hear one guy, he talks to me every day. He's like, man, my group, none of them like me in there. It's just, it's hard for him. He's telling me all about it. And he just needs someone to love him. And that's the chance I get to love my coworker, and it makes his day better. He's like, man, I never thought about that. Thank you. And it's just simple stuff. Like, let's just get back in the Word and let him encourage us. But one of the best things Pastor Spencer ever encouraged me with in regards to preaching was to be myself. And I think when I'm going to be leading the youth, if I'm not myself, then who's going to be me? Who's going to lead them? Who's going to lead all the youth that will be here? I was made to be Tanner Lusk. I was not made to be a Spencer DeVries or a Greg DeVries or really anybody else, think of anybody, or I'm not made to be them. And it's just one thing I know. Like in J-8, I would do things for attention, to be seen. I wanted to be the guy because I wanted to just climb the ranks. I was like, man, I'm going to run a mega church one day. I'm going to brew the shukalaka and pray and bring the house down. But that's just vanity, very much vanity. And it's a good desire that you want to preach, but you don't have to preach to millions. Like I have 20 here I get to preach to. I get to bring the word to y'all. This is a blessing to do it. But I have to be Tanner Lusk wherever I go. And it's not even that hard. Like, God made me to be who I am. I think it's harder to be someone else because you have to keep this facade that, oh, this is who I am. And last time I checked, the false identity is, it's not really legal. It's against the law. A misdemeanor fake ID crime can bring up to a year in jail as a possible sentence, or less time, such as 30 to 90 days. But a felony fake ID offense can result in a year or more of incarceration and something in as much as 10 years and fines. And that's just the worldly penalty for that. Imagine how God feels when you don't want to be who he made you to be. Could you imagine your sons and daughters going through that too? Like, they don't want to be who they are, but it's like, you have everything you need and nothing that you don't. I remember being in school too. It's hard sometimes. Somebody has everything and then I had everything too, but it's like you see what someone else has, like, I want that. I want those shoes. I want that shirt. And I got to the point where I wasn't happy with what I had, though I had everything I needed. So, and it's just, we all have different gifts and talents too. Some of us can sing. We're very musically gifted. Some are good at math, which those are very few. But there's some out there. Some are good with grammar. Some are grammar Nazis. There are some people who are good at typing. I'm not very good at typing either. Some are good at just being friends. Some are good at solving problems. Some are good at making good coffee, like Joel in Brooklyn. He's mentoring me right now with our espresso machine. I thought I was a lost cause for a while, but I was just doing it wrong. And he's like, here's how you do it. And I was like, oh. But we're all where we are for a reason. I'm in the job that I'm at for a reason. Just like Pastor Spencer's leading this church for a reason. Jody just got her new job for a reason. My mom's a pharmacy tech for a reason. She's been there for 20 years. 17 years. But he equipped you with the talents and skills that you needed to be where you are and to do the things that you do. And like I said earlier, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do at work, other people are going to suffer because of it. So what spiritual gifts do you have that God gave you that you're not giving to other people, that you're not sacrificing for others, that you're not laying down on the altar so that they may be even better or grow stronger? What more can you do with the gifts that you have, and how much more could you advance the kingdom with that? Yeah. And one thing, too, don't be jealous of other people's gifts. I think that was a big thing for us in school. It's like there's those people who are always getting the opportunities to preach because they have that gift. They're just talented speakers. They're very good at it. They know their word. And other people who don't prepare as much, they're not going to be up on stage preaching, because if you don't take the time to grow and to learn, you're not going to be put in the position to do it. And if you are, you're going to learn from it, and it won't be an easy learn. Been there. But I had while I was thinking about this at work earlier, I was working on this big project. I do playground equipment, so I think in playground sometimes. It's weird. But I was doing, it was just a set of stairs and then two handholds on the side, and it had maybe 50 parts to it. If just one or two of those parts was off, the whole thing would be messed up. Yeah. And we're all part of this. We all have a certain job and responsibility to do where we work. If the designers didn't design something at work, we wouldn't have anything to draft. There would be no need for me there. And if we didn't have people to make these parts, it would be useless. And there was nobody to buy this stuff. What's the point in it? Yeah. So everything that we've been given, every talent, has a special purpose, and it's to reach, not just reach, but advance the kingdom of God. Because if we're not doing that, what are we doing? Yeah. So I said all of that to say, We can touch somebody with our gifts. We can just help people. We can use our gifts to serve those who don't like you at all. Because I have people I butt heads with at work sometimes, and I've got to remember, I'm a child of God. I don't have to worry what they think about me. I can just be who I'm supposed to be. The bottom line is just to love people and do to them how you want them to do to you. That's so easy, but it's so hard. And obviously, our best example in the Bible is Jesus. He didn't come to serve, but to be served. Yeah. So why do we want to be served so much? Going to Jamaica was a culture shock for us because we could not serve anything. They wouldn't let us touch a door. They wouldn't let us lift a finger. And I was like, what am I doing here? I'm just wasting away and getting fat. But that's what you're going to do if you just keep consuming of the fruit and not giving out. Yeah. Not anybody, not sharing with anybody else. You're just going to keep growing and growing and growing, but to no avail. You're going to be a spiritual sluggard. Yeah. Oh, that's good. I didn't even think about that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for extra nuggets. That's a Pastor Whalen quote right there. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 9 and wrap up. In verses 22 and 23. To the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you. So the bottom line is we should be serving others to see God glorified in them. And the biggest thing about serving is your heart's intent. If you're doing it for you, it's fake. Yeah. You're not really serving anybody. You're just serving yourself up some disappointment. Yeah. Your heart, he showed me a lot about my heart's intent as well. In Matthew 5:8, it says, to the pure in heart, they will see God. And just that's in the Beatitudes. And that alone is like, okay, if all my motives are pure, if my heart is pure in all that I'm doing towards God, then it's just life. There's no death in that. Yeah. So how can we get to that point and just stay there? But if you're doing none of this, if everything you're doing is for your own sake, for the sake of just other people or just the sake of this or that, but not for the sake of the gospel, then it all means nothing. So I encourage us all to really take time later on, just meditate on it. Think, am I really a servant of all? What am I doing wrong and what am I doing right? And if God corrects anything, praise God. It means you can only get better. So, but yeah, that's all I have really. So, yeah, thank you all for listening. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Amen. That was an incredible word, Tanner. Thank you so much, brother, for the time and the study that you put in and the intentionality that you had in delivering it. And I know that it was a word from the Lord because the phrase that you said at the beginning, it's not about you, has been on my heart all week. In fact, I taught school of ministry on Monday and the title was, it's not about you. And so I know that's something that God is saying to the body right now. And anytime that we serve and then we make it about us, we're actually robbing ourselves of the blessing that could come from serving. And I want to just reiterate and encourage you with something that he was talking about at the beginning about bearing one another's burdens. Look for ways that you can bear people's burdens this week. If you can identify on your spouse or on your coworker a burden that is weighing them down and you can take it off of their plate or you can share it with them, do that. In fact, the book of Romans says that those of you who are strong bear with the scruples of the weak. Okay. And so if you see that, I love words that help us have practical application to them. That's what I think is the beautiful thing about the teaching of the Word of God is it illuminates the Word, but it also gives us application to the Word. I want to encourage you, don't just sit here and listen to the Word tonight, but be a doer of the Word, not just a hearer only, because it's one thing to come to church on Wednesday night and receive the Word, but it's another thing to go out and do it. And so I encourage you, go out and do it this week to total strangers,
but also to the people that are in your household. I think sometimes we hear this and it can be different ways. One, we serve people in our house because maybe they're already there. It's convenient. It doesn't get us outside of our comfort zone. And because we don't have to talk to somebody we don't know if you're an introvert, or you could be an extrovert and it's easy to go up and help somebody, but you neglect the very people that are in your own home that you could be bearing a burden with. We need to do it for all men. In fact, I love the caption at the top of that scripture said, serving all men. And I want to encourage you, serve every single person. As he said, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Let's just pray. Father, I ask that you would seal this word inside of our heart. I thank you for the great reminder from your word and from your vessel that delivered tonight that we should be servants of all. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to bear one another's burdens and to not withhold good from those to whom it is due. I pray that you would help us to release words of encouragement and to help others and to love others, Father. And I pray just your blessing over Tanner and Jody as they launch the youth ministry next month. God, I pray for an abundance of teenagers and growth and just wisdom and revelation to come from heaven for them. And Father, I thank you for him pouring out tonight. And I pray for every single person that heard this word or is going to hear this word, that it would go to transform our lives and the way that we view others and the way that we are used by you, and help us to remember it's not in any way about us, but it's all about you. And we give that to you tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you. May he keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you.